Greater Sandton and beyond. Get ready for the Sandton Times Hour.
With your host,
Alexander.
That's it. It's the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and is always available as a podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. My name is Alexander Leibner. This is edition 112. It's week 18 of 2023. And here we are. It's May. Can you believe it? If you want to get in touch, you can email editor at santontimes.co.za, or you can connect with us on social media at Sandton Times, or visit the website www.santontimes.co.za and send through your questions, your comments, your feedback, your thoughts. Always welcome, and I'm always happy to hear from you. As you listen from across Gauteng, South Africa, and wherever you are in the world, both on the radio or as part of the podcast community, I'm happy to report that all is well in Sandton land. And as always, Vincenzo joins me behind the desk to make sure that all is sounding good. Did you have a good weekend? Long weekend. Yeah, gee, it was a very long one, eh? We had Freedom Day and then Workers' Day now. And yeah, it's just that time of the year where we have this public holiday feast. Some people might say it's a bit too much because you kind of stop, start every single week. But that's it now. Now it's plain sailing, I think, for a little bit. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 right now and not on the podcast, you can use the WhatsApp line. It's open 0848220938, 0848220938. And it's always good to get your messages, your voice notes, your texts, your pictures. I mean, stuff people send through. It's just truly tremendous at the best of times. The coronation of Charles III and his wife, Camilla, as King and Queen of the United Kingdom and all the other Commonwealth realms. It's taking place this coming Saturday, the 6th of May. 2023. Did you get your invite from Buckingham Palace, Vincenzo? You didn't? Unbelievable. Well, neither did I. I also didn't get one. So yeah, kind of leaves us with nothing. We're going to do the next one. I think you're right. We'll do the next king, the next royalty. We'll hold back. You're right, absolutely. All we can do is we can actually wait for the OBE. When we get that OBE invite, we'll just send our most sincere and fabulous wishes when we meet face to face then. Jokes aside, we've got some great guests again for you this week, so let's get straight into it. Coming up on this week's show, he's one of South Africa's up-and-coming comedic faces who has had us laughing with his latest South African tourism skit, also the Minister of Electricity piece he did, and now he's got the Pothole Golf Association. What is that all about? Well, stay listening. Then we haven't spoken to him in a while, so it's time to reconnect with one of our regular contributors and find out what is going on with Africa's rich and famous. Next, he is probably one of the most successful YouTubers when it comes to cruises and cruising. I'm a big fan of his work, and I'm so excited to have him join us for the hour. Stay tuned for that. And finally, if you're in marketing and advertising, there's another award waiting for your entries, and I'll be getting all the details for you. This and more coming up shortly. No headlines for this week, as we have a jam-packed show for you, but let's play some music as we get the hour going.
Show some love.
Subscribe. Share.
Leave a review and rating for the Sandton Times Hour
on your favorite podcast app now.
Online. On air.
Anywhere. Anytime.
This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Levitating by Dua Lipa, taking us into the hour. And before I start chatting to my first guest, you might have seen some of his work alongside the talented Temba Robin. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. Really great guy. Having had a laugh about SA Tourism and the Minister of Electricity, the two have returned with a brand new piece of content. And it goes a little bit like this.
Hi, I'm Harry Potter.
And I'm Sandile Patapata. But you can call me Sandy.
And we are from the PGA.
The Pothole Golf Association.
That's right, and we are here to announce the nationwide state-of-the-art hole-in-one golf course.
Our state-of-the-art hole-in-one course is situated near, well, any road with a hole-in-one. Our course stretches from the lavish potholes of Polokwane all the way to the sensational sinkholes of Simonstown.
Ever dreamt of living on a golf estate? Well, now you do. No more walking 18 kilometers to play 18 holes. Now you can play 18 holes in 1 kilometer.
And for those of you who are worried about expensive equipment, don't worry, because at the PGA, you don't need to have a good driver. You just have to be one!
And if driving isn't your game, don't feel handicapped. Rather enjoy a round of putt-putt.
This one for the tires.
Yes!
Yes!
Getting ready to play the 10th. It's a tar 3. And there's definitely a hole in one here.
Definitely. Oh, he's going for a birdie. This one's from the rough neighborhood. Amazingly, South Africans are already starting to buy into the PGA concept.
Excuse me. Hi. Did I not talk to you guys about this yesterday? Hey? I'm going onto the WhatsApp group now.
And the best part is, your membership fees are included in your taxes.
So you can rest assured that the holes in your street will always be there for your golfing pleasure.
And if you're not yet hooked on our nationwide golf course, be on the lookout for our first ever African National Championship.
That's right, our 2024 tournament is coming up and it's right around the corner. Couch. With prize winnings of up to $500,000.
Now that's Andile. Is a tender prize.
So please, South Africa, no more yada yada about potholes in your neighborhood.
Because with the new PGA, every road has got a hole in one waiting for you.
Well, that was Bauer Bosch and Temba Robin with the PGA, the Pothole Golf Association. After the break, I chat to the man himself, Bauer Bosch.
Follow the Santon Times on social media.
At Santon Times.
Topical news.
My fellow South Africans.
Big names.
I love that.
The hottest entertainment.
I'll be back soon. Yeah, I'll call you myself.
And everything in between.
What an honor. I was born in Sandton, grew up in Sandton, so here I am.
This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. And just say before the break, I gave you a little bit of a taste of the man I'm going to be chatting to now. His latest creative release, and his name is Bauer Bosch. He's the creative director of Freckles Agency, but he's also a comedian. He's a creative all round. I know he's involved in a whole bunch of different things, but he's been making us laugh over the last couple of months with some of the great stuff he's been releasing online. And Bauer, it's great to have you on the Sandton Times Hour.
It's so lucky to be here. I really appreciate it.
But you seem to be collaborating with sort of very similar faces or the same faces on a regular basis with a lot of these content pieces. How did you guys all get together and start creating this stuff?
Well, the key with anything in life, I guess, especially in the entertainment industry, is you have to surround yourself with people that's better than you and that's funnier than you. And there's something magical that happens when there's people around you that's also into comedy, there's people around you that's also into satire, that's also wants to hold up a mirror to society. It's almost like a brewing pot of like, if there's 10 good chefs in the kitchen and everyone brings their specialty, you're going to come out with a like a poikikos of something special. And that's the plan. It's like to write with people that has the same vision and same intention. Because at the end of the day, we do this because it brings us joy, but we also feel a bit of a responsibility to like kind of point out the problems in South African society, not just problems, but just like relatable stuff everyone faces on a daily basis.
Well, that's not too hard at the moment. I know there's like probably like a whole buffet of things you can choose from.
Yeah, dude, it's a gold mine. The irony of like South Africa is it was founded on like there was a gold mine in Joburg and everyone came here. And now it's like it's still a content gold mine. It's still a gold mine.
It's unbelievable. And what's the reaction been like to a lot of the stuff that you've released? I mean, I know you had the tourism one, you had the Minister of Electricity one. I mean, how have people sort of responded to all of this content?
The response has been insane, man. We're so humbled by this. I mean, when we in Temba, we met up in December. We had breakfast together and we were like, dude, I just want to make funny sketches. Do you want to be part of it? And then it was just we wrote the first one, the tourism one. We wrote it while we had lunch on a Friday. It was just nothing bigger was planned. It was just let's go have fun and make a mockery of the whole tourism hotspurs situation with the billion rand. And the lack of thing that came out of it is like I realized there's such a hunger for content, for like good clean family content, stuff that's relatable. And the thing with comedy is like you can say the things everyone says and get away with it. Where a lot of the stuff we say, like corporate companies can't say it. Or I mean, when you work for a newspaper, sometimes journalists aren't allowed to say these things. You have got like poetic license in a way. to say and do things that other people can't do. And that comes with the responsibility that we feel. And that's why we also like do this and love doing this. But the response has been amazing from all the spectrums of the different cultures and languages in South Africa. And we never planned that.
Well, it's an interesting thing that you raise that, because I think most people will probably be, and I'm sure there's probably a great Afrikaans word for this, but they'd be pretty scared, you know, to release some of this stuff for fear of retaliation of some sort. And there is this this beauty of sort of coating it in comedy, where people are like, the guy's just insulted me, but he entertained me as well, so I'm going to kind of live with that. But did you have any serious feedback from South African tourism or from the Ministry of Electricity in terms of this thing being released and them saying, listen, guys, this is not on?
We wished for that. Like, to be honest, like we wanted them to reach out and like either give us nonsense or like give us, hey, wouldn't you actually make us a nice tourism video? Because I mean, imagine that. But at the end of the day, with the tourism one, we changed the logo. In the beginning, we had the official South African tourism logo in. And then one of my friends were like, just cover your bases. You never know. But it's also, the politicians are so out of touch with anything on the ground. So that's why it'll never even reach them. It feels to me like that. It'll never even reach them. There's no way whoever Mbalula watches this clip and takes time out of his day to come and give us nonsense. Like, those guys are, there's no way. That's the sad reality, is that they're just so out of touch. And that's why these things work, because we live in two worlds. The politicians live in a world, and then the rest of us live in another world.
Well, I think even when you brought out that tourism one, I think the minister had changed by the time the clip had been released.
Exactly.
It was somebody else's problem now. They had to deal with it.
But that's why we wrote that joke, where it was like the new Minister of Arts and Culture, which was the previous Minister of Health. Because it's always like, what's up with qualifications? Like, do they just jump around in positions in Parliament? It's whack.
But I mean, social commentary is not the only thing that you do. I mean, you've just won a Savannah Comics Choice Award now for some of the corporate stuff that you've done, for your Freckles agency. And what was that like? I mean, this is, of course, a great nod to some of your thinking and some of the work that you've done.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was such a humbling night, because, I mean, you're in this room with the top comedians of South Africa, and technically, we are not comedians per se, because let's say we're not stand-up comedians. But I feel anyone that dabbles in comedy, if you're someone on TikTok that does comedy or someone that makes YouTube sketches, you're a comedian. The term comedian kind of changed throughout it evolved, you know, in the past 5 or 6 years. And so we see ourselves as comedians, but to be in a space where you have all these amazing creatives and amazing minds and people that have been doing this forever, and then your name and your company's name gets read out, and you brought something to the table in the South African comedy space for people to enjoy. And that was a great nod for us. Like, we never, I mean, me and Benny, we started this just for fun as well. Like, we never think through anything we do. And to kind of be mentioned and to be known as like these two guys that make this content in South Africa, it's incredible for us, because we're just me and him. We're two people, and we compete with the Ogilvies, the Joe Publix. I mean, we beat Nando's. We beat a Nando's ad. Everyone grows up going, when you do it, every brief is like, we want a Nando's thing. We want something like Nando's. And here we had the opportunity to compete against them and to win them. And win them is a strong term, because it's just people's choices. But for us, it's like, oh my word, we came face to face with our heroes.
Well, listen, I think Nana should still send you a full meal, just to, you know, just to acknowledge defeat and be like, you know, here's some wedges and a peri-peri chicken. I'm sure they'll come up with a clever line. And then you can have that with one of your, you know, Savannah alcohol-free or whatever. Angry Lemon or whatever.
I love that.
I mean, that's the ultimate victory meal, I think, there.
It sounds fair. It sounds fair.
We'll leave it to them to make it up. What have you got lined up for the rest of the year? Anything exciting? Anything that you want to highlight?
Me and Temba, we're grafting art on more sketches. Like, for us at the moment, we just wanted to keep on with the momentum we have at the moment. The latest one we did with the golf one is so much fun. And that's like the most gutsy one in a sense. Because that's like, you're kind of tuning them straight now. Like, this is gemors and trouble. So, but for us, I mean, we've got a bigger, like, me and, like, not to get emotional, but me and Temba, we really love South Africa. And the point is not to keep on pooping on the government the whole time and to show how bad things are. Like, we really, really believe in a healthy society. We believe in reconciliation. We believe in, like, the different culture groups can work together, and we want to use comedy to kind of convey that message as well. So we that's what we just want to keep on hustling with, that dream in mind, to be two guys that believe in this dream and just to operate within it. In the show, we can work together and do fun stuff.
Well, Timber's a great guy. We interviewed him a couple of weeks ago on the Santon Times Hour. And yeah, hopefully we'll have him on again. And I hope you guys carry on doing the great creative work that you do and kind of bring a little bit of lightness and a little bit of humor to our days as we deal with the most sensational stories left, right, and center. Yeah. As there's never a dull day, Alex, in South Africa, man. Listen, thank you so much, Bauer Bosch, creative director of Freckles Agency. Thank you for joining me on the Santon Times Hour.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
It's the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick musical break and we'll be right back with more of the Santon Times Hour right after this.
Back for more?
The Santon Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with High on Life and Martin Garrix featuring Bon. And I hope you're high on life if you're listening to this right now. Taking you into the second half of the Santon Times Hour, my name is Alexander Leipman. And if you listen to this regularly or you don't, well, let me quickly fill you in on how this works. If there's anything that you heard on the show but you hadn't taken note of it, go onto the website, visit the show notes on santontimes.co.za. We'll put all the information on there if you want to, you know, get in touch with our guests. There's an email address or a phone number or a website or whatever it is that they've given us. We'll put it up there and you can find all those details there with a breakdown as we've discussed it this week and all the other weeks. And also make sure to follow the Santon Times on social media, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, whichever one you're on. Pick one and make sure that you give it a follow and use the hashtag Santon Times Hour. Now, a man that I haven't spoken to in a while, and I know people are saying, where is he? What is he doing? What is he up to? It's journalist Chris Bishop. We've been catching up on Africa and its billionaires and all those other things in between over the last couple of months. And I'm thrilled to have him back on the show again. Chris, it's good to chat to you again.
Nice to speak to you again, Alex.
How are things going, Chris? What have you been up to?
Well, usual writing, fighting for business, same as ever. But April the 18th, 1980, was the day that Zimbabwe became independent. Actually, a lot of people have forgotten this. Before it reverted from the old Rhodesian regime, became actually a crown colony again during the transition. So when Zimbabwe was made independent that night at Rufaro Stadium in Harare, the Union flag was brought down for the last time in Africa. As you know, Prince Charles, the current King Charles III, was there, and Bob Marley played a gig, which has become legendary, sort of where he unveiled his song about the independence, Zimbabwe, full of hope, full of passion, full of fire. But sadly, sometimes when you're looking back on it 43 years later, by the way, I wasn't old enough to have covered that. I was still at school, I'm afraid, but I did spend 5 years working in Zimbabwe, and sometimes a lot of those principles that Marley sung about on that night in independence, on April the 18th, 1980, seem quite a long way away now.
I'm sure, and especially at this time where Zimbabwe is in focus again after that Al Jazeera story that broke over the last couple of weeks. But we're not going to go there. We've got so much stuff to cover in the next 8 minutes, so I'm going to have to move on swiftly. But talking about Zimbabwe, you spoke to Ken Sharp.
Yes, I mean, he's one of the many Zimbabwean millionaires that I've interviewed over the last couple of years. I mean, Ken is quite a character, shall we say, the best way of putting it. I mean, he's a young, what you would have called then a white Rhodesian, born in 1973. His old man owned mines and stuff there. He sort of grew up, as he said, not with that much direction in life. Somewhere along the line, he got into business. I mean, he started off like a lot of guys up in Zim, you know, they started like bottling what they call cool drinks, fizzy drinks.
Soft drinks,
Take on Coca-Cola. I mean, it's always a difficult one because Coca-Cola's got such a huge grip on the market. And they tried to, get into the market there and then sort of okay. But eventually he drifted into property, started working on property. And at the moment, that's his main thing. I mean, at the moment he's working on this $4 billion so-called city within a city, Pomona City in Harare, where it's going to have all its own infrastructure, its own roads, its own energy, its own everything. And it's quite a sort of pioneering project in the continent. But again, you know, there's always that bit of controversy hanging around. You know, he got this incredible existential moment, which came when he was skiing in 2007. Had this terrible skiing accident. I mean, he was going down a slope with his. He was skiing with his family. Went down. He wasn't wearing a crash helmet, and he hit a tree on the way down.
Oh, geez.
Cracked his skull open. Almost. He was like two steps from passing away. And he always told me that his daughter came to him, you know, said, "Daddy, don't die, you're going to be all right." And he came back, and it seems to have been a big moment for him because he's very devout Christian now, and he said that that moment, you know, sort of changed his whole life and, you know, led to some of the entrepreneurial successes that he's had.
Amazing. And another sort of successful African that you've spoken to over the last while is Rebecca Inonchong.
Inonchong, yes.
Inonchong.
They call her the free spirit of fintech in West Africa. She's quite a remarkable person. I mean, she's been through the mill. She's lost tens of millions in revenue in certain times. In she bootstrapped her business from almost nothing, even though she's in quite a sort of well-heeled background. She always wanted to do her own thing. Got into the fintech business in its infancy, sort of a dozen years ago. She's certainly been through the mill. She was locked up by the authorities a couple of years ago in her home country of Cameroon for supposed disrespect to authority, whatever that is. And there was a Free Rebecca campaign for her on the streets. And this is how strange Africa can be, because actually public protest in Cameroon is illegal. You can get locked up for it.
Oh, wow.
So people have Free Rebecca T-shirts made, but they had to wear them inside out so the cops didn't see what they were doing. It's just bizarre. But she's been through a lot, but she's great. But interestingly enough, one thing I like about her, she believes that Africa, A, has the background and the technology to create some of the best fintech in the world. Because, as you know, in Africa, there are so many problems that you have to solve when it comes to moving money and finance and stuff. So she has her expertise. She's got a new product that's coming out. It's going to launch in the States. She reckons it could be built in Africa and sold in countries in the States, like the States, where they don't have the same problems that people have in Africa, with the technology that's made in the continent, and make a fortune. She's about to launch, I think in June this year, she's about to launch, and she spent nearly $1 million on this developing thing. And basically what it is, it's like a sort of artificial intelligence finance officer of your company. So if you want to know about your company, you ask this thing questions, it'll give you everything. What products are selling, what products are not selling, where you're making money, what your costs are like, all this stuff that a bloke would sit there and tell you. You can get a machine to do it very, very cheaply. So an incredible person, and she's on the up, you know. I mean, she's you've got to hand it to her. She's been through the mill. She never dwells on things. She's not a bitter person, and she's certainly something.
Well, it's spectacular, and like I think both stories indicate that even though there's challenges, even though you know, Zimbabwe and even now with Rebecca, you know, there's solutions that need to be found, and people are finding those solutions and they're making business happen. And Chris, it's also good to check in with you on some of the success stories coming out of Africa and the billionaires and millionaires that are carving a new path. And I hope we get to chat again very soon. That's journalist Chris Bishop with his eye on Africa.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
All right, change of pace as we always do at this time of the hour, and let me let you in on a little secret of my time in lockdown. So we were all locked up at home. We didn't even know if we were ever going to get out of our houses, never mind actually travel somewhere. And I love YouTube. I love exploring YouTube, and I always get excited when I find a new channel on YouTube that I can really get into. And one of those happened during lockdown. I came across this this fantastic YouTube channel, which focused on cruises. And it was particularly strange because I'd never been on a cruise. I'd always thought about going on a cruise. And at the point when I found it, I thought we would never actually ever see the outside world again. So the idea of consuming copious amounts of cruise content, maybe knowing very well that I'd probably never get onto a boat ever, was a bit strange. But it was just the most captivating channel. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the content. And I must say, I consumed it while I was cooking, in the evenings, in the mornings. I was just lapping it up, and I'm so thrilled to be joined by the man who started that channel. It's called Tips for Travelers. His name is Gary Bembridge, and if you're in the the travel and cruise space. You know him very well. He's got an unbelievably successful channel. And Gary, it's such a pleasure to have you on the Santon Times Hour.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me on, Alex.
Gary, maybe in your own words, how would you summarize this channel that you've created that has now got such a fantastic following?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's a bit of the backstory is probably as interesting as this channel is. I mean, it sort of started as a hobby. I'm a bit geeky. So when podcasting came along, I did a podcast. When YouTube came along, I did YouTube, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to put on YouTube other than I knew I wanted to do it. And this is right back in 2006 when YouTube started. And it was about the same time I started my cruising journey. So I was posting videos, just random stuff, and I'd put some cruising videos on and they did pretty well. And you know, over the years, I was very erratic because I was working full time and I just posted YouTube stuff and whatever. And then as I got more and more into cruising, and then I'd always decided I was going to retire when I was 55. So I'd made that plan and I thought, right, I'm going to cruise more, post more. And that's when things really just took off because I really focused on the channel. I learned all about how YouTube works and whatever. And I just posted regularly, really focused on the end user. And as the channel says, it's tips for travelers. And a bit like you were talking about there is, it's people who, you know, are looking, thinking of going cruising or considering changing cruise lines. So it's not, it's not like a vlog. It's really, here's how you do it. This is what you pack. This is what the cruise line's strengths, weaknesses. And I think that's why it did so well, because it's kind of quite practical. So people come to it looking for kind of, and balance as well. I try to be very balanced in what I do. You know, here's what's good. Here's what's bad. Now, a lot of YouTube channels, I think, probably get a bit gushy at times. So they're either very about, look at me, because it's about, you know, personality led, or they kind of rave, everything's fantastic. So I think that balance is kind of what helps. And I think because I'm very passionate about it, probably shows as well. So, yeah.
I mean, you tread quite carefully at times, and other times, you have a very bold opinion, and people get a very honest sort of insight into the topic at hand, be it sort of five things to pack or five things to avoid, or these three cruise lines are getting it right and these three aren't. And a lot of it is very self-funded. I mean, you do a couple of cruises a year, and this isn't just cruise lines inviting you front, left and center to, you know, try the lobster and drink the champagne. It really is your own experience. And I think that's where a lot of people get a lot of value from it.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it's... I made a decision a couple of years back when, as the channel was growing, that I would try and only go on cruises that I paid for, because, you know, I wasn't invited even when I started by cruise lines to go, you know, on comped trips and stuff. And I always felt like even though they don't ask you to say X or say Y, there's a kind of implied contract there. I mean, cruise lines aren't going to send you away unless they think you're going to rave about them. So I felt kind of uncomfortable with that. And so I now fund all my own trips, and I do about 10 cruises a year, so a lot. And it's all paid by viewers. It's all from like the YouTube revenue. So pretty much all the money I get from YouTube, the tax man takes his slug, and the rest I basically pay on equipment and cruises. But I think they made a huge, I felt there was a real step change, you know, back in about 2019 or so when I shifted, because I felt like I didn't owe anyone other than the viewers anything, because they were paying for me to go on the trip through the advertising stuff. And I think that also helped change my attitude a lot. And I think people pick up that sense of balance and that sense of fairness. And I don't slag lines off, but I will talk about, like, this doesn't really work and here's why. Or, you know, if you're this type of person, this will be fine. But so, and I think that's what people are looking for these days, kind of authenticity, balance, because people are bright enough to make up their own minds. That's what I try and do.
Amazing. I mean, you've also got a live Q&A that I know you do on, I think it's every Saturday or every odd Saturday. So if people want to tune in on that and ask questions, I mean, especially people who are into cruising. And if you haven't done so yet halfway through the interview, well, I mean, maybe you should get onto YouTube right now. Subscribe to Tips for Travelers, Gary's channel, and you won't regret it. That's my sort of endorsement there. Do it. And if you're planning to cruise locally, internationally, it's the one to check out. And there's some really valuable information there. Gary, what cruises have you got lined up for 2023? Where are you off to next?
Every year, because I plan way in advance, I sort of pick what I'm going to do. So this year, I'm focusing quite a lot on destinations, because I think after shutdown, a lot of people just kind of want to get out there and they want to go on trips and wherever. And now I think what we're seeing is a real shift. People are much more also trying to pick off places they always wanted to go and dreamed about. So in a couple of days' time, I'm heading off to Egypt to do a Nile River cruise, which hopefully won't be too death on the Nile, hopefully. Then I'm going to French Polynesia. After that, I'm going to do parts of Norway and Iceland. Then what I'm very excited about is I'm doing Greenland and the Canadian Arctic, then wow. Japan. And that's kind of what I'm doing between now and the end of the year. I feel like I've left one out, but I'm doing something else. But like those, but I'm trying to pick sort of unusual, slightly unusual, sort of more, I guess, what people might call bucket list destinations. And so that's what I've got planned up for this year.
Amazing. And I know you've also got a trip to South Africa planned early next year.
That's right. That's right. So part of those destinations and trips then in January, towards the end of January, I'm coming to South Africa, which is out of Cape Town. So it does some of Namibia. You know, I think we go about as far as Durban and then kind of back. So it's just under 2 weeks, I think. So I'm really looking forward to that because there's lots of places. I have been to Durban before and I have been to Cape Town before, but lots of those other places I haven't been to and haven't been to Namibia. So I haven't been to South Africa for a very long time. So I'm also intrigued to see, you know, it's changed so much. And so I'm quite excited about that, you know, seeing that mix of places I haven't seen, going back to places, and also just seeing what South Africa's like these days.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Gary, listen, you know what? It's always so great to watch your content, now to chat to you. And I hope we do get a chance to chat again in the near future. I know there's some incredible cruise ships coming online. There's some new product offering coming into the market. And there's a lot of changes happening in the cruise industry as well. And maybe we'll get a chance to chat about those and touch on some of those in some future shows. But listen, Gary Bembridge, Tips for Travelers. Go check it out on YouTube. I thank you for making the time to be on the Santon Times Hour.
Brilliant. It was great. Thank you very much for having me.
Tremendous. And we're going to take a quick musical break and we'll be back with more after this.
From Greater Santon to the rest of the world, this is the Santon Times Hour.
It's the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and in all good places where you find exceptional podcasts. Well, that was a fresh take on I Will Survive by Bezo Morph and Merrick Again, featuring Nito Ono. Where do they find these names? I just don't understand this. Like some of these songs have got the most bizarre names. Anyway, going into the last 100-meter stretch of the hour, and the 2023 Assegai Awards entries have opened, and the awards aim to showcase those who have hit the mark in the direct marketing industry. And to chat to me about this and so much more is David Dickens. He's the CEO of the Direct Marketing Association of South Africa. And David, maybe to kick things off, can you ring fence direct marketing for us? Where does that fit into the marketing spectrum?
The DMA, or Direct Marketing Association, we were set up many years ago in 2005 already. Business got together and we saw that it was kind of a free-for-all and a shotgun approach to direct marketing. We had spam going crazy on our emails, and we didn't want to be seen as, you know, the Wild West. So business together with our association and an NPO, we developed good codes of practice. Obviously, you know, brands really want to be seen as a good proponents of adhering to codes, but also it does good for a brand to be seen as a good corporate citizen. So everyone has rallied behind us and we became one of the largest institutions that brings about change, and change on the side of the consumer. We hold them at the center while we administer our professional trade in direct marketing. So yeah, in a nutshell, we really see direct marketing as everyone says, data is the new oil, that old cliche. We want to protect what gets done with it. We want to also keep this consumer. We want to build the trust of the consumer because that's so easily lost in all of this data. And that's what we do at the DMA. We regulators to ensure that we play fair and we do what's right in line of POPIA and the acts that govern us. Yeah, that's what we do.
So if I hear you correctly, we're essentially talking about all those marketing elements that come at us that are either SMS, email. I mean, back in the days, we still used to get post in the mail, and there used to be somebody who was going to try and sell you whatever it was. It's all those parts of marketing. So it's not necessarily the usual stuff, billboards, radio, or television ads, or YouTube ads, or anything like that.
Absolutely. Look, there's parts of marketing where, you know, you want to use the jargon above the line, which you're talking about radio, television, and billboards. But sneakily, digital came in under that, but now it's gone, as they say, through the line. It touches on everything. I mean, if you saw a TV ad and a short code, dial this short code phone number, then it became digital.
Right.
When you got your post and you got a coupon in it and it said, scan this barcode, it became digital. Mm. So, yes, it touches in from email to social media, mobile, and all those screens that everyone looks at. And now there's like three or four screens, some you carry. You carry three screens with you, your phone, your laptop, and your iPad. So it's with you all the time.
Well, marketing, in, I suppose, in its purest sense, is on the one hand, you know, generating sales, generating businesses for so many companies. And I think everybody who works in a company or has a company is focused on marketing in one way or another, especially when times get tough. But I think a lot of the marketing often celebrates the creativity of the marketing, but it's about the effectiveness, because at the end of the day, you want people walking through your door, you want people phoning you up and saying, I'd like to have, you know, X amount of your product. And I'm assuming that's also what you're going to be celebrating or going to be focusing on when you recognize some of the brands that are up for the 2023 awards.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, Alexander. So when we sat down and we strategized, you know, look, we are regulating the industry, but it's not all stick. There's a lot of carrot out there. There's a lot good going on. This industry creates so many job opportunities. And at our last review with Deloitte, it's 36 billion and growing. So we said, how do we marry compliance with celebrating the best and who is doing it? Not just the creativity, like you said, but it's that creativity that with great strategy. And we saw that in the market that most of the award categories are looking at creativity and strategy, but there's a big component missing. And what the ASA guy did was we looked deeper and we got together with our board and our team and said, you know, we need to hit the mark. What is the mark that business wants? Business at the end of the day is concerned with ROI, return on investment. If I gave you $100, did you turn it into R1,000 for me? That is critical. But how quickly did you do it and how did you measure that? And that's the smart part of digital and direct. It is quick, it is instant, and it's measurable and trackable across all your social media, every click and every email. And one can count how many times it went viral, as well as what it did in terms of financial return. So whilst all the other, when we did our competitor analysis, we looked around us and there are great awards out there. You know, you take nothing back. There's great strategy, there's great creativity. We marry that to the SGI awards, but our weighting is a bit different. So we've put 30% in creativity, 30% in strategy. 40%, our biggest weighting is in ROI. And that's what made the SGI stand out and special. Because especially in this time of crunching your penny and a depressed market, business wants to know, where is our best buck spent on marketing? And it's a winner of the ASGI award that stands out and says, I stood head and shoulders above everyone else, not only in strategy and creativity, but in getting you a lot of money back for your buck.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose that's what everyone's looking out for right now, especially the finance department, and I'm sure also the managing director / CEO of the company. Yep. Entries are open now, so if people want to enter, they can do that, and we'll put up all the information up on the website. If you can't jot it down right now, well, don't stress. We'll have it up on the Sandton Times. Mm-hmm. And then where to from here? When are the awards? When do you announce the final winners?
So we've started very early at opening up the awards because actually we've been pressed by the market. They really love the awards. We've opened it up earlier. There'll be a couple of cutoffs for entries, but we're holding the awards on the 9th of November. So look out for that date. Our tickets and entries are with Ticket Pro, our tickets and Ticket Pro. You can get on the ASGI website and look at ways of entering. But, you know, I also just wanted to add more than just the journey of putting your competition entry in. We take our entrance on a learning curve that is crazy. All our top achievers, they share their experience and the great elements that hit the mark within the Assegai Awards. And that is seen by all members in our fraternity and our members. So they're always on the cutting edge and they know what is great. And we move from, I don't know, people say from good to great, but we move from great to even greater when we analyze, you know, where to from each Assegai Award. It's just amazing how smart they are. And add to that, the Assegai's has opened up the market. We also saw that it was quite restrictive. We always awarded those big companies that had large budgets. And we said, you know, we don't want to create barriers of entry. We want to recognize the small guy. So we've opened up entries for the under R500,000 category award. And that has been taken on so successfully because then, you know, we become the breeding grounds of the next great.
David Dickens, CEO of the Direct Marketing Association of South Africa, chatting to us about the 2023 Assegai Awards. And as I said, we'll put up all that information up on the Sandton Times. And David, thank you so much for joining me on the Sandton Times Hour.
Absolute pleasure. And thank you for having us.
And that's it for another Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and as always available as a podcast on Apple, Google and Spotify. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@sandtontimes.co.za or visit the website www.sandtontimes.co.za. And just for good measure, why don't you get onto social media as well and follow us on @SandtonTimes. Feel free to send through your questions, your comments, your feedback, your thoughts, your input into the content. All of that is welcome. And thank you to my guests who made the time to chat to us. Load shedding, no load shedding, everything in between. It's always valued that you do pop onto the show and come chat to us. Vincenzo, thank you once again for everything that you do. And as always, mille grazie. And thank you to the Sandton Times team as well as everyone else at Mix 93.8. And thank you for listening. And let's connect again next week.
That's it for this week.
Thanks for listening to the Sandton Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.